had been members here and part of this family here at Tanner for some time, for quite a few years. And we want to continue to remember them in the upcoming days and weeks and months, as this is going to be a hard thing to go through and a very hard process. But let's continue to do what we can for them and keep them in our prayers. Kind of had a blast from the past, I guess, the last couple of weeks in having Robert Hall week before last preach to us. And what a blessing that was. I always like hearing Robert. And usually we're gone on Christmas when Robert preaches. And we were here, and so we got to enjoy that. Then Jim Bowers last Sunday delivered a message and was very good to hear him. Of course, both of them being preachers here in the past. And I tell you, that speaks very highly of a congregation. When the preachers don't want to leave, when they continue to stay here, and of course, welcome to stay here, want them to stay here, but I've never been to a congregation where it had so many preachers that have preached here in the past that will continue to attend. And that speaks very highly of the family here at Tanner. Very loving group, and you just don't know how much you mean to so many others and how much good you do in the community here and how much encouragement you are to our family. And I appreciate that very much. If you've seen in your bulletin that we were starting our groups, our care and visitation program back today, that's not right. That's not correct. We will probably start that back next week. A little bit of a surprise, but we were mixing up those groups and everything, and I'm not going to talk much about that program because this will begin our third year in doing this program, so I think everybody is familiar with it. But I do want to say thank you for everyone who has participated in that and who's put forth effort. And if you ever wonder, and sometimes it's just human nature, if you ever wonder if it's doing any good and really, you know, hey, maybe there's not many people attending sometimes, and is it really worth doing? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It does a lot of good. And I tell you what, Charles and I get the cards. And after you see a year's worth of cards that have been given out and see all the visits that have been made and all the encouragement and things that have come from those visits and all the greeting cards that have been sent out and the good that has been done, you realize that it is a good thing. And so I want to encourage anybody who is not participating in that. It doesn't take much time or effort, but it does a lot of good. And want to thank everyone who does participate in that to continue to do so. Starting a brand new year, it's hard to believe, but we have 52 Sundays this year to worship God. And so what are we going to do with the opportunities that we have? If you don't mind, advance that one, Ken. This thing might be dead. But 52 opportunities to come here on the first day of the week to worship God. What are we going to do with those opportunities? Are we going to be here? Are we going to make it a point? Charles had a very good class on that. Are we going to make it a point to be here to worship God those 52 Sundays? And if we're well, I hope that we all resolve to do that. We have 104 class periods that we're going to have this year, if you include Wednesday. What are we going to do with those opportunities? Are we going to grow? Are we going to try to increase in the Lord? You know, everybody knows about New Year's resolutions that they normally do not last very long. And there's a lot of studies that are done and surveys that are taken concerning that, on what resolutions are normally made, on how serious people take those resolutions, and how long they normally last. And they normally don't last past about February or March. But maybe you're that kind of person. Maybe you like to make resolutions at the first of the year, and that's something that I like to do. What's your resolution this year? It might be that your resolution is to be more active, to be more involved in the Lord's work and in the church and in your family here at Tanner, and we hope that everybody resolves to do that. One study says that the most meaningful resolutions are those that deal with our values, that deal with our faith, the things that we believe in, and what we want to become and what we want to do with our life. And so certainly I think that that would be the case. So what about you this year? Do you plan on growing this year? Do you plan on advancing? Do you plan on increasing your knowledge? Do you plan on doing more for the Lord? Do you plan on being here every opportunity that you have to be able to grow? Sometimes all we need is just a good reminder. And honestly, that's about half of Charles and my job, is to get up here and remind ourselves. I asked Charles about class. I said, were you teaching yourself? Were you preaching to yourself? And he said, always. And that's pretty much always the case. But that half of our job is basically to remind you and ourselves of things that we already know, but things that are good that we need to apply to our life and that sometimes we need to be reminded of. And it might be just that you need to be reminded of a few things. Might be kind of like the man that went to the retirement home, or I don't know if you call it retirement home, but anyway, he went there and he started living there, and it wasn't long at all that he made a lot of friends, and one friend that he made was a lady, and he especially enjoyed her company, and she enjoyed his company, and they got closer and closer, and their friendship got better and greater as the months went on, and one night he finally built up enough courage to propose to her. And so one night he proposed to her, and that next morning he woke up so excited because he knew, of course, that he proposed, but he was a little upset because in his old age he got to where he can't remember things very well. And for the life of him, he just couldn't remember what the answer was. And so he was trying to remember, and he couldn't remember, and so he finally built up enough courage to go down the hall to her door and to just go ahead and ask her. So he did that and said, "I'm so sorry, I'm just so embarrassed, I don't know what to say, but I clearly remember asking you last night if you would marry me, but for the life of me, I can't remember your answer." And she says, "Phew," and she just sighed a sigh of relief and said, "I remember the answer, I just couldn't remember who proposed to me." It might be, on a serious note, it might be that you remember your baptism like it was yesterday. And most of us do. You remember maybe who baptized you, a very special day, a very significant event in your life. Maybe you remember the congregation. Maybe you remember even the date. But it might be that your life and the way you're living your life reveals that maybe you've forgotten some things concerning Christian life and Christianity and the things that we need to be doing and how we need to be growing. And so turn your Bibles, if you will, to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to be looking there just for a little bit. I think that we all realize that we need to be advancing in our Christianity. It's a religion that we're supposed to be growing in. And if we're not growing, then we're going the opposite way and we're actually dying. So let's look at Jesus and how he grew. I got to thinking about this. You know, Jesus could have come here as a grown man if he wanted to, but he didn't. He could have been dropped down on Thursday, down from heaven on Thursday, and crucified on Friday to resurrect on Sunday, and then to ascend back to the Father, and certainly that would have been a lot easier. And it would not be easy, I'm not saying that, but it would have been a lot more simple and a lot easier. But he chose not to do that. He chose to be born just like we are born. He chose to go through the growing process just as we do and as we have. And he chose to increase, as Cole did a very capable job of reading that passage to us. So if you will, look in Luke chapter 2, and we're going to see how Jesus grew as we grow and as we should be growing and how he advanced. First of all, looking at the context, we see that Mary and Joseph had gone to Jerusalem, and they have gone, or actually Bethlehem, for the census. And so they're there in Bethlehem, and it says in verse 6, look at verse 6, and it says that the days were completed for her to deliver. And so, of course, it's talking about Jesus being in the womb, Mary being pregnant with him. And so that just goes to show us that Jesus was in the womb just as we were. He came in the world the same way as we did. You skip down to verse 12 here, and this is the angels talking to the shepherds out in the field, and they tell them that you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. And so there it talks about Jesus as being a baby. And so Jesus was, and it's hard to imagine that, to wrap our mind around the fact that God was actually flesh and blood and that he was a baby, but he was just as we were. And then we skip down to verse 40. And there it says that he was a child, that the child grew and that he strengthened in spirit and was filled with wisdom. And so there it goes to talking about how he was in the womb, to how he was a baby, to now he is a child and now he is growing just as we grew up. And then in verse 43, it talks about the boy Jesus there. And we all know the context that Jesus was 12 years of age, and we think of that as being a small boy, but really in this time it was not. Because in that day and age, when you got to the age of 13 years old, you were called a young man. as we would call a teenager that is maybe up in 17, 18 years old, a young man. But they would start calling a 13-year-old a young man, but it had meaning to it. It wouldn't just be a phrase that they used, but it had meaning to it. And it actually meant that they were a man at that point. They actually had a lot of the responsibilities that a man would have. And so we see here that Jesus is 12. It's pretty much his last year to be a child, if you will. And so then you skip down, and this is what I really want to draw your attention to this morning, is the last two verses of chapter 2 here. Verse 51 and 52 says that he increased in wisdom. And some translations say that he advanced in wisdom. And really, we don't know anything else about Jesus from the age of 12 all the way to up to his ministry at about 30 years old, except for the principles that are taught right here. But it says that Jesus advanced. I want us to think about, do a little bit of a word study here. And we back up to verse 40, it talks about how he grew. We talked about that as a young man or young woman grows. But then you get to 52 and it talks about how he increased or he advanced. And at a glance, that seems like it's talking about the same thing, but it isn't. It's not talking about the same thing. And I think it would do us good to realize that and to recognize what it is talking about. It's two different words, it's two different meanings, and it's talking about two different things here. So let's look at verse 40, first of all. The word grew, or the word grow, actually means has to do with the idea of enlarging in size. And do we have a choice to do that? We don't have a choice to do that, do we? We don't choose, I want to be 6'3", or I want to stop growing, I don't want to be that tall. We don't have a choice in that. We grow physically and we enlarge in size, and so that's something that all of us do, and that's what it's talking about here. It's kind of like over the holidays, you might, as we do, and it's amazing to see the kids grow the way they do, but you might have gone over to some family's house and seen some children that maybe cousins or long-lost cousins, you know, or a niece or a nephew that has really hit a growth spurt. And you see them over the holiday season and you see them and say, wow, they've really grown. Look how they're maturing. Look how they're growing. Look how their face is changing and all of that. And that's what this word is here. When it talks about how he grew, that's talking about enlarging. Some of us enlarge in size in other ways during the holidays. And I'll tell you what, you get to that age to where you can't really do hardly anything about it. But I'm not going there. I'm not talking about myself or anything. But that's the idea of that word. Now, you look at verse 52, and the word there, increased, and some translations say advanced, doesn't mean in size at all. In fact, you know, Jesus, just as we do, we get to that age, and at about the age of 18 years old or so, to where you stop enlarging in size. Well, you start enlarging in size in another way, but you stop growing in a sense. And so that's what it's talking about here. It's talking about in wisdom. It's talking about spiritually here as well. It's not talking about the same thing. So the word here, advanced or increased, has to do with moving forward. It has to do with growing in that way, intellectually, in our faith, in wisdom. That's what that has to do with. And as I said before, growing, enlarging in size, something that we don't plan, it's not something that we can control, but this is. This is something that we must control. It's something that is intentional. It's something that we must have the intention to grow. We will not sit by and do whatever we want to do and not have intentions to grow in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ and grow. It doesn't happen that way. We have to have the intention to do so. And I honestly believe everyone in the auditorium here has that intention. I believe that everybody here has the desire to be all you can be for the Lord and to increase and to grow spiritually. But unfortunately, it takes a little bit more than intention. It's kind of like the New Year's resolution. That's the resolution part. That's making that resolution and having that good intent. But it takes more than that. It takes a little bit of effort. Charles says something about losing 20 pounds. I don't even go there. I'm not even going to do that. It takes more than intent. It takes a little bit of effort. And so that's something that we've got to be willing to do, to take effort. It's football season, so let me use this as an example and see some of the men perk up. You're about to doze off. I said football. Tomorrow's the big day, right? For some of us. It's the big day, and I'm rooting for Alabama. I'll go ahead and say that. Some of us Auburn fans are not. I'm rooting for Alabama. I can't for the life of me say Roll Tide. Well, I just did. But I can't in an enthusiastic way, but I am for Alabama. That's beside the point. But imagine this. Imagine an offensive linebacker after a game saying that I did pretty much everything that I knew to do, and I didn't miss a block one, and I did my very best, but they didn't advance 1 yard. Could you imagine him after the game bragging about what a wonderful job that he did, and I didn't miss a block, when his team didn't even advance 1 single yard? No, he'd probably walk away and say, that's the worst game in history. Have you ever even heard of that? There's never been a game, probably a football game, that they haven't advanced at least 1 yard. It takes more than just an intent, does it not? It takes great effort. This is what I'm trying to say. We can have all the best of intentions to do the Lord's work and to be faithful to Him. But let me tell you, if we're not growing, if we're not learning, if we're not increasing in our faith, if we're not doing more for the Lord, if we're not worshiping Him the way that we should and the way that we should want to, we're not increasing and we're not advancing. And so we're backsliding if we're not doing that. Basically, what I'm saying is there's something wrong with my Christianity if I'm not growing the way that I should. My Christianity is not what it should be. We see a child and they're growing physically, and we can see them, say they're about this tall. And they get to that point, and say it goes on 6 months or maybe even a year, and we're noticing they're not growing. And maybe it goes on another year, and especially 2 years, and they haven't grown a bit. Are we going to be concerned? Well, of course we are. Something's not quite right there. They should be growing. They're not at the age to quit growing, enlarging in size, but yet they are. There's something wrong. Brethren, I tell you what, when we have been Christians for years and years and years and years, and we still have to be constantly encouraged. And I'm not saying you don't need to be encouraged, but we constantly need to be encouraged just to walk in the door to worship our God. There's a problem. There's a problem. When it's hard to get anybody to teach a class, it's hard to get anybody to do any kind of church work, there is a problem. There's a problem in the church today throughout our nation, and we see more and more of that. If I were to ask you this morning, who believes in the cause of Christ? Let me see, I will ask you. Who believes? Raise your hand. Do you believe in the cause of Christ? Everybody in here? Okay, let me ask you this, and don't raise your hand. Are you advancing in the cause of Christ? Are you advancing in the cause of Christ? Are you growing? Are you doing anything to advance the cause of Christ? Let this year be the year that you intend, but take it a step further, and you put forth the effort, and you put forth a sacrifice to grow in the Lord, and you'll be happier than you've ever been. That's something else that it takes in order to advance or increase or grow, is sacrifice. And that's something that certainly we see Jesus do. Now, on this occasion in Luke chapter 2, Jesus is with Joseph and Mary, his parents, and they are there in Jerusalem, and they're there for the purpose of the Passover. If you remember what the Passover is about, it's about offering and bringing a lamb to offer as a sacrifice for the sins, for the atonement of the whole family. And so Mary and Joseph and Jesus, they go there to do just that for the sins of that family. Of course, Jesus didn't have any sin in his life. And if you remember the account, of course, Mary and Joseph leave. They traveled oftentimes in a big company like that. And so they had left to go back home, and Jesus isn't with them because they just assumed that he was in their company and in their group of people. But he wasn't. We know that he stayed behind. Well, they go, I think, a day's journey, if I'm not mistaken. Then they come back a day's journey, and I think it's another day, if I'm not mistaken. It's 3 days that they're without Jesus. And then they find him. And where is he at? He's not out playing soccer. He's not out having a good time running around with the kids. He's there in the temple, and he's teaching the teachers. And you remember that they're a little bit upset about it, and I think we all would have been. And that, Jesus, did you not know? Well, why did you do this? Do you remember what Jesus said? He said, I must be about my Father's business. I must be about my Father's business. And that's very, very important. You know why? For a number of reasons. Here's one. Because Jesus recognized and realized at the age of 12 years old who he was. And we can see that there. He knew that he was God. He knew his purpose. He knew why he was there. The fact that he was in the temple teaching the teachers, we know that he knew God's will. He probably knew the law and the prophets. He might have even had some of it memorized. Now imagine this. You ever read Isaiah chapter 53? We probably all have, that talks about the Messiah and how he would be led to the slaughter like a sheep for the sins of all the people. Don't you think Jesus knew that passage? He probably knew it by heart. You think about this. They're there in Jerusalem. They're there for the Passover. They're there for the slaying of the lambs for the atonement of the sins of the families. And he sees that. No doubt. I mean, it's going on. There's thousands of people there. And he sees lambs being taken and being sacrificed in order to have forgiveness under the old law. And don't you know he knows, that's me. That's me. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to have to go through. I'm that sacrifice. And yet he continued. We live in a society that is about convenience. We live in a society that is about pleasure. We live in a society that is very much about me. I don't see that when I look at the life of Jesus. I don't see that at all when I look at the life of Jesus. I see sacrifice. I see effort. In 2013, let me encourage us all, and I'm talking about myself too, let's not look for the easy way out. Let's not look for the path of least resistance. Let's not have the idea and the frame of mind that I'm going to do the least amount to still be faithful to the Lord. That's not what Jesus did. We saw how he grew and that he increased. He was willing to sacrifice to give himself. He was willing to come here and be born and to grow up and to suffer and die, knowing all along why he was here. Now that's effort. And that's sacrifice. And there's no way that we can be faithful. I was talking about football earlier. There's no way at the end of a year that I, as a Christian, can say, you know, I did my best. And if the Lord was to come right now, I'd be ready to go. If I hadn't been here to worship him when I had the opportunity. If I haven't opened my Bible to take the chance to grow and learn more about my God. If I haven't been involved in the Lord's work here in my spiritual family and out in the community, it just doesn't happen that way. We must be growing. The passage up here in 1 Peter chapter 2, and I'm not going to take the time to read it. You can read it yourself. But let me say this. If my view of Jesus Christ is I love him and I'm so happy that he sacrificed so that I don't have to sacrifice, then I've got a false view of Christianity. I really do. I've got to realize that it takes more than good intention. I've got to realize that it takes effort and that it takes sacrifice in order for me to be a faithful child of God. And that way, when I have that frame of mind, when Christianity calls me to be more than what maybe I was expecting, I don't have to say, well, man, I didn't know it was going to cost me that. And we don't backslide and fall away, but we say, you know what? I knew it was going to cost that. And I'm willing to do whatever it takes. If somebody, and I can't do this, but if somebody were to promise you $1 million next week, if you didn't spend a penny this week, what would you do? I don't think there's a person in here that would spend a penny this week We would do whatever it took in order to not spend a dime, a penny, in order to have that. And there might be times throughout the week that we would struggle and say, man, this is hard. I didn't realize how hard it was not to spend a penny. But you know what? Next week it's going to be worth it because I'm going to be rich. Next week is heaven. We've got to realize that. Today, we're living in the world. And whatever it calls us to sacrifice in order to be a faithful child of God, today it's going to be worth it tomorrow. We've got to get the big picture. We've got to look at the big picture. How did Christ grow? How did Jesus grow? Well, in Luke chapter 2, we see that he grew in a number of different ways. We see that he grew just as we grow. We see that he also grew physically, but he also grew intellectually and spiritually. We see here that it took intent, it took effort, and it took a great, great sacrifice. We all must realize that that's what it takes in order to be a child of God. Let's put forth the effort this year. Let's look back on 2013. If you hadn't already done this, let's be able to look back on this year in our life timeline and say, that was the year. 2013 was the year that I realized what Christianity was all about. 2013 was the year that I started attending all the time. It's the year that I started in this ministry. It's the year that I grew like I've never grown before. Let me encourage you to do that. Let's grow. Let's grow together. Let's increase here at Tanner. Let's encourage others to come. We can't do that if we're not growing ourselves, and if we're not enthused about our Christianity. If you're not a child of God, we want to give you that opportunity. Better yet, Jesus wants to give you that opportunity to obey his gospel, to have the forgiveness of sins, to have every sin, think about that, every sin that you've ever committed, lifted, forgiven. You don't have to bear that anymore. You can do that by believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, being willing to confess him, but it's not a one-time get up in front of everybody and confess. It's a thing that we do throughout our life, that we confess that he is the Son of God, to try to turn from sin and try to live in accordance with his will, a life that is faithful to him, to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, and to be added to the Lord's church. And we want to encourage you to do that if you need to do that. If you are a Christian and maybe you've lost sight of what is truly important, we want to encourage you. What a blessing it is that if we can confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Won't you come if you have a need at all? Please let us help you while we stand and sing.